Jesus loves you. Amen. We love him because he first loved us. Amen. Thank you for that song. I believe James wrote that song. Is that correct? Yeah, James wrote that song. That's a beautiful song. Thank God Jesus loves us. You can take your Bibles, if you would, and go to Acts chapter number 12. Acts 12. And I'm going to try to give you a little bit of a, I don't know what it is, a challenge, a encouragement, a outline. I'm not sure what it'll be, but I want to give you something to pray about tonight. I think we all have things to pray about, but I thought about the Wednesday night prayer meeting, and this verse of scripture that we're going to look at has been on my mind and on my heart for a couple weeks now. I just read through it in my personal Bible reading, and I've got it in my Bible that I read out of. I've got it underlined and highlighted, and so when I ran across this verse, it just jumped out at me. And so I'm going to use it as kind of a springboard into a couple verses that I'm going to share in the book of Acts. But I want to talk to you tonight just about prayer. That's what we're doing. We're gathered here. It's prayer meeting. We're here to pray tonight. And so I have two thoughts tonight. I want to look at first the method of prayer in the book of Acts. And then I want to see what I put here, the motivation for prayer. Amen. So the motivation of prayer and the method of prayer. And so I want to look at this. Look at Acts chapter number 12, if you would. And I'll read the first five verses to you, and we'll see the verse that I'm going to kind of use as my text verse. The Bible says this: "Now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James the brother of John with the sword, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarter, I don't know how to say that word. I ain't gonna lie to you. How you say that? Quatorians? That's what I was getting ready to say. I had it right. Okay. Praise the Lord. Quatorians of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people." Verse 5, and here's my verse here, says, "Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but," and this is what I've got underlined in my Bible, "prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." The Bible says that prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. I've got that underlined in my Bible, and I've got outright written out beside it, "That's what we need." You know, that's what the church needs. Our church needs to pray. And that's what we're here to do tonight. And I want to give you a couple thoughts about prayer. And as I said, I want to give you some motivation to pray. And that is some reason, so to speak, to pray, or some topics of prayer. You know, we're gathered together. And sometimes we just, I don't know about you, but I need some motivation. I try to run a little bit, and honestly, Brother Steve, the other night I was talking about it, he played softball, and I asked him, I said, "You run pretty good, Brother Steve." I said, you normally run? He said, "Not unless somebody's chasing me." That's motivation, right? So he said, "The only way I'm running is if somebody's chasing me, or it's, you know, in a softball game, I got to be motivated to run." Well, I need motivation as well, and I get my motivation from the mirror, right? You know what I'm saying? How many of you get motivation from the mirror? Amen. And so I need motivation. If I'm going to eat right, if I'm going to run, if I'm going to do anything really in life and make it count and stick, I need some motivation. I go to work. Some people get up and go to work every day because they love money. And I honestly, I'm not lying to you. I mean this with all my heart. I don't go to work every day because I love money. Money doesn't motivate me. That group of people right there does. I want to take care of them. I've got a wife and children that motivate me to get up in the morning and go to work. Because money's not really a good motivator for me. Some people want a lot of money. I can live without a lot of money, right? I don't need a lot of money, but I need a roof over my family's head.
I need food on our table. And so my family motivates me, right? And so as I think about prayer, I think we need some things that motivate us, some reasons to pray. But before we look at the motivations to pray, I want to look at this. I want to look at the method of prayer. And I see it here in Acts chapter number 5. We see a method of prayer that I think is all throughout the book of Acts. I wanted to go through all the verses, but I don't have time tonight to do that. But many of you have read through the book of Acts yourself. And maybe next time you read through the book of Acts, I actually went through the book of Acts when I was preaching, acting like a Christian a couple years ago here at the church. And I highlighted every prayer in the book of Acts. So every time I read through the book of Acts now, I've got the prayers in the book of Acts highlighted. And as you can see on this page right here, they're the orange ones. There's a couple orange highlights on every page in the book of Acts just about. You'd be shocked at how often the disciples and the church was praying in the book of Acts. And many times their prayer was very similar. The method of their prayer was very similar. And so I want to give you a couple thoughts on that. And I think it goes along with what we're doing tonight. The first thing I see in this verse is that they're praying. The method of their praying was, it was united. You see it? It says, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church. Of the church. It was a united prayer. It was a group of people that had united together to pray. They had a cause, they had a motivation, they had a reason that they were praying, and they were all united in prayer. We could go through the book of Acts, Acts 1:14. The Bible says all continued with one accord in prayer. They were all together in prayer. Verse 24, chapter 1 says, and they prayed. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says that they were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They were all praying together in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 3, it says they all prayed together. In Acts chapter 4, it says when they all prayed. In verse number 31, again, it says that they prayed. Acts chapter 6, verse 6 says that they prayed. Acts chapter 12, here we are. The Bible says that they were gathered together praying. Look at verse number 12. It says, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. It says, where many were gathered together praying. And so you see that the book of Acts, the early church, the Christians here in the book of Acts were united in prayer. They were praying together. And that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to unite together in prayer. Now some of us are going to unite in a classroom. Some of us are going to unite out on the basketball court or the playground. Some may unite upstairs in a Sunday school classroom. Some may unite together around the altar. Some may unite together in their seats. But regardless, what we're going to do is, as a church, as a group of believers, we're going to come together and we're going to pray. That's what the early church did. They were united in prayer. I think, you know, we can be united in prayer. I was thinking about this, and I thought, we can be united in prayer and not all be in the same place, but all have the same purpose. Does that make sense to you? I don't know how many of you this week have prayed for Sister Karen, but I know I have. And I'm convinced, because I know this church and I know the heart of this church and I know the people of this church, after us gathering around as a group of people Sunday night and hearing the news that Sister Karen got and praying over her on Sunday night, there's not a doubt in my mind that there's been a group of believers this past week in a different place united together for the same purpose. You understand what I'm saying? And we heard the news of our pastor and his sister passing. I know, because I know our church family, that probably throughout the day today, pastor's been getting text messages from a group of people that are united together. Maybe not in the same place as we are tonight, but for the same purpose. You understand? And so tonight we are united to pray. And not only do I see here that they were united in prayer, I see that they were unceasing in prayer. Look at it in verse number 5. It says, prayer was made without ceasing. Man, that's convicting, isn't it? They were praying without ceasing. Now, I've always thought about this, and I don't think that this means that we should just stay in a constant act of prayer, but we should stay in a constant state of prayer, in a constant the ability to pray. You understand? We should always be praying. Throughout the day, we should be praying. At work, we should be praying. Going down the road, we should be praying. As we're in church, as I was sitting here during the song service tonight, I was praying. Right? Prayer isn't something that just has to be done in the closet. There is a time that we need to go into our closet and pray, as Jesus said. But there's also times in public where we can just pray. Many of you on your way to work, you pray. I mean, throughout the day, something happens and you're in a hard spot at work and you're trying to figure something out and you just say, God, help me. Lord, give me strength to get through today, right? How many of the stay-at-home moms pray in a day, right? God, help me with these children. I need help. And so it's prayer that's united, but it's prayer that's unceasing. Over and again, if you read through the book of Acts, I won't have you turn to them, but Acts 1:14, Acts 2:42, they both say they continued in prayer, continued steadfastly in prayer. Acts chapter 6, verse 4 says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray in always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Colossians 4:2 says, continue in prayer. Romans 12:12 says, continue an instant in prayer. Luke 18:1 says that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And so we see that the method of their prayer was, it was united. But we also see that the method of their prayer was, it was unceasing. They just continued to pray. And that's what we're doing here. That's what we're that's the goal of these Wednesday night prayer meetings. It's this, let's just keep praying. We need God to do something in our church. We need God to do something in our lives. We need God to do something in our country. And we need God to do something in our community. And we just need to keep praying and not cease and not quit and not faint. Just pray. And so their prayer was unceasing. Their prayer was united. Then last, I see this, their prayer was urgent. Now, we read the couple verses here, and it reminded me of the message I preached a couple Sunday nights ago about Jairus and how that when his daughter was dying, he prayed with desperation. And I believe these Christians here, this church that was united together, this prayer that they were praying was an urgent prayer. James had already been killed. And now Peter's locked up in prison, and they get news. They hear that Peter's locked in prison, but not only that, but that Herod had killed James, and he realized that the people were happy about that. And so Herod, trying to, like most politicians, trying to get more votes, trying to stay in power, he said, well, if the people like it, I'll do it to Peter too. I'll kill Peter. And so these disciples began to pray, and they're praying urgently. God, would you do something in Peter's situation? And I think we need to pray with some urgency. Time is short. Jesus is coming. We're not guaranteed another day. God, help us when we pray to pray with some urgency, with some fervency. What did James say? He said, a fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so there's some urgency to the prayer here. And all throughout the book of Acts, if you read through the book of Acts, and we don't have time to do it, but if you look through these verses that I've highlighted with prayer, you know what you're going to constantly find? An urgency. A group of believers that are praying with urgency. And so let's pray tonight. Let's pray united. Let's pray unceasing. Let's pray with some urgency. And then, so we see the method of prayer, but now I want to give you this, the motivation to pray. And I'm just going to give these to you really quickly. And if you've got a pen, you might take it out and write it down. I'm going to give you a prayer list for tonight. How about that? I realize it's Wednesday night. I realize we come in here. I realize people are tired. And sometimes you almost got to get into a mindset or a mode of prayer. And that's what I want to do. I want to motivate you tonight to pray. So when you gather in your groups or you gather with your family or you gather around this altar, I want to give you some things to pray about, some motivation, some reasons to pray, some topics of prayer. Here in this text here, you know what these people are praying about? They're praying about Peter's well-being. That's what they're praying about. Their brother Peter is in prison and he's on death row. He's getting ready to die for his faith, and these people are praying for Peter's well-being. They're saying, God, would you please deliver Peter? And as I mentioned a moment ago, and I said, we're praying for Sister Karen. You know what we're praying? We're praying for her well-being. We're praying, God, if it would be in your will to touch Sister Karen and to heal her body, we're asking you to do that, God. We're asking you to move in her situation. And all across this auditorium tonight, there are people that know someone. There's people in our midst, and there's people in our families that have physical needs, and we can get together and we can pray for their well-being. We can pray, God, work in this person's situation. God, work in this person's life. God, would you heal them of this ailment? That's what these people are doing. They're praying for Peter's well-being. Not only do I see that in the book of Acts they're praying for the well-being of people, but I'll tell you something else I see them praying for often is wisdom. They're often praying for wisdom. If you would, go to Acts chapter 10. I could go to a lot of places, but since you're right here and I want to be quick, I'm just going to give you one. Acts chapter number 10. The Bible says this in verse number 2. It says, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Right? So he's praying to God. In verse number 6, look at what it says. It says, God sends and gives him an answer. And it says in verse number 6, he lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. So this man is praying for wisdom. He's saying, God, what should I do? And God says, okay, I'll tell you what to do. Go to Simon the tanner's house, and there's a man there praying. That's Peter. And he's going to tell you what to do. He's going to give you the wisdom that you need. And if you read through the book of Acts, you'll find that over and over. Acts chapter number 1, the disciples were wanting to replace Judas as one of the 12. And you know what they did? They prayed and they said, God, show us what we ought to do. God, that knowest the thoughts of all men. I think that's what it says. I actually wrote down the verse in Acts chapter number 1, verse 24. It says, thou which knowest the thoughts of all men. God, what should we do? How many of you need wisdom tonight? Is there anybody need some wisdom tonight? The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. So tonight, as we gather together to pray, I'll tell you a couple things we could pray for. We could pray for somebody's well-being. There's all kinds of people, even in this church and people in our families, that have needs, and we could pray for their well-being. I'll tell you what else we could pray for: wisdom. God, give me wisdom. God, I've got some decisions to make. God, I've got a family to raise. God, I've got all kinds of stuff that's on my plate. God, would you give me some wisdom? And so we could pray for wisdom. The disciples prayed for wisdom. All kinds of places through the book of Acts, they're praying for wisdom. They're praying for well-being. I'll tell you something else they prayed for. They prayed for their witness. Look at Acts chapter 4, if you would. Acts chapter 4, verse number 29, the Bible says this. It says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Ephesians 6, 18 and 9 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. I'll give you another prayer request tonight. We can pray for people's well-being. We can pray for wisdom, for ourselves, for our church, for decisions that need to be made, for things that we're talking about building across the road. You know what? We need wisdom. The ministries of this church, you know what? They need wisdom. And so we can pray for wisdom, but I'll tell you something else we can pray for. We can pray for our witness. We can say, God, would you make this place a light on the hill? God, would you open up and give us utterance in this community? God, would you give us boldness so that we could preach the gospel to Madison County and to Culpeper and to Greene County and to the surrounding counties? God, would you give us a witness as we hold Vacation Bible School next week? God, help us to speak the word of God boldly as children come in here next week. You see, so we can pray, God, help us to be bold. God, give us a witness. God, help us to have the words that we could share with a lost and dying world. And so they prayed for their witness. They prayed for the well-being of others. They prayed for wisdom. I'll tell you something else they prayed for. They prayed for workers. They prayed for workers. You can read in Acts chapter 13, Acts chapter 14, Acts chapter 6. And you know what you're going to find? You're going to find that whenever they called together a group of people, remember when Paul and Barnabas were separated? He said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work that I've called them to do. The Bible says they laid hands on them and prayed. Jesus said, remember the prayer request? Who was that, Brother Sinclair, that preached Jesus' prayer request? Was it Brother Sinclair? Missions conference last year. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send laborers. We could pray for workers. God, help the missionaries that we support that are on the foreign field tonight to reach souls with the gospel. God, be with our bus workers and our Sunday school teachers and our preachers. And God, be with the other preachers in this community and around this country. God, we're praying for your workers. You know, in the book of Acts, they were constantly praying for the workers. I'm trying to give you some prayer requests tonight so that when you gather as a family or you gather around to pray and you think, I don't know what to pray for tonight, I'm giving you some prayer requests. Pray for the well-being of our church family. Pray for wisdom for your own life and for our church. And pray for workers. Pray for the missionaries and pray for the teachers and the preachers and the people that are serving God. Pray for them. Pray for a witness. God, help us to be a bold witness. God, help me to share the gospel at work. God, help our church to proclaim the gospel in this community. God, give us a witness. And then last, they prayed in worship. Go to Acts chapter 16, and I'll close right here. My time's up. Acts chapter 16. You know this verse. I didn't have to have you turn there, but Acts chapter 16, verse 25, it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, look, and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now, this isn't the only place in the book of Acts you're going to see somebody praying in an act of worship, but that is what Paul and Silas are doing. Paul and Silas are locked in prison, and you know what they say? We're going to worship God. We're going to pray and sing praises unto God. So you say, what can I pray about tonight? You could just pray and worship. Just thank God for how good He is. Just praise God for your family. Praise God for this church. Praise God for your health. Praise God for the blessings of God. We've got so much to praise God for. And so I'm trying to give you some reasons to pray tonight, some motivation to pray. Pray for the well-being of others. Pray for wisdom in your life, in the life of this church, and other people's lives. Pray for a witness, a bold witness. Pray for workers. Pray in an act of worship. But let's just pray. That's what we're here tonight for. That's what we got. This is prayer night tonight. This is Wednesday night prayer meeting. And so as we get ready to split up into our groups here in a minute, I would just encourage you. I would just challenge you. I would do anything, exhort you the best I can. Let's pray. Let's unite together, maybe in a couple different places, but with the same purpose, and let's talk to God. Let's go before the throne of God and ask God to do something in other people's lives and in our lives and our church and in this community. Let's just pray. Amen. So let's pray tonight. There's so much more that could be said. You ought to read through the book of Acts sometime and just highlight or take note of all of the praying that they were doing in the book of Acts. Let's pray and then we'll separate into our groups. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your goodness, and God, thank you for your word and the examples in it. Lord, I pray, God, I pray tonight that you would take the thoughts, the challenge. God, just take this outline, something, Lord, and use it in the lives of your people. God, help us to come to you tonight united. God, unceasing, urgent, Lord, realizing that, God, if you don't do something in some of these situations, if you don't do something in certain people's lives, God, if you don't do something, then it will not get done. And God, we just ask that you would help us tonight as we pray, God, to just come before you together boldly, fervently, humbly, God, and just ask you to do great and mighty things. God, we're claiming the promises of your word where you've said, call unto me, and I will answer thee. God, that's what we want tonight, Lord. We love you. We thank you for loving us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.